To overcome, you must educate. Educate not only yourself, but educate anyone seeking to learn. We are all dead America. We can all learn something. To learn, we must challenge what we already understand. The way we do that is through conversation. Sometimes we have conversations with others. However, some of the best conversations happen with ourselves. Reach out and challenge yourself. Let's dive in and learn something new right now. Today we are with Roman Fisher. He is an actor, a model, a bodybuilder, and a high performance coach. Roman, could you please introduce yourself? Let people know just a little more about you, please.
Yeah, definitely. So outside of doing those things, I really love, you know, just traveling and just seeing the world and inspiring people along the way. And so one of those things, just like he was saying, is being a high performance coach. So really helping people burn fat, gain muscle, strength, flexibility, and most importantly, helping with their mindset and improving their overall mindset. Because your mindset literally governs all. If your mindset is not set right, then you're not going to really achieve or even have the motivation, honestly, to achieve any said fitness goal out there. So, or any goal really, even non-fitness related. So helping people just get their mindset dialed in the right way so that they can actually go ahead and go forth and actually achieve every which fitness goal that they might have set for themselves.
I like that a lot, Roman. Everything about life is really mindset. Like you just stated, if you do not have a proper mindset, it's going to affect everything in your life, health, your well-being with social crowds. You know, that's a big thing because we're social creatures. And if we can't fit into that crowd, that can really do devastating things, harmful things to our mind, which affects our body, our overall being. So, yeah, I like what you're doing. So what inspires you to get in and do that?
Yeah, what really inspired me to get in and do this whole thing was actually from my past and my past experiences in my life. So growing up, I always struggled. And I mean, I struggled with depression. I struggled with depression. I struggled with anxiety, fear, and really just achieving what I wanted to achieve in my life, even outside of fitness. So a lot of the times I would struggle with, you know, career-based goals, but also trying to get my body to where it was. Cause I also really struggled with, you know, a low self-confidence growing up, especially throughout school. I would get bullied for being skinny, not big enough, not being on the football team, things like that. Just being more skinny and not being as big, as muscular as I could be. So all that really did play into more of a low self-confidence and a low self-image for myself. So that was something I struggled with a lot growing up in my life. But then, yeah, definitely just not knowing where I was in my life and not really having found myself in my past. So taking all my past experiences and all my past, you know, life moments, taking that and then using that and seeing how I just honestly overcame all that. I overcame every single one of those things and I improved and I did a total 180. Because I went from being and having a low self-image and a low self-confidence in myself to literally just doing a 180 and not feeling that way at all. And honestly feeling the exact opposite of that. So using those experiences, how I overcame that to then help other people, because naturally I am a humanitarian. So then using my past experiences and my triumphs from those challenges and obstacles and using that with my passion and love for helping out other people, that honestly just made my full-on passion for helping people out, not just in their fitness, but with their mindset so they can improve themselves and so they can elevate to a higher level for their lives.
Yeah, that's great. So a lot of mindset actually revolves around our diet, what we put in our bodies. And this is important for people to really understand, because the toxins that we eat today, if we're not aware of what we're eating, the quantities that we eat, it's very detrimental, not only to our body physically, you understand that, but emotionally, these toxins dive in and they attack our emotions. So we feel tired, and that turns into these angry emotions that we all tend to get sometimes. So how important is diet, and what did you discover along your research path that really slows us down with our diet?
Oh yeah. So nutrition, diet, like you were saying, it is very, very important and crucial when it comes to our mindset. 100%. I could not agree more, honestly. And so why it is so important and why it's so prevalent for how it can make or break your mindset for the good or for the worse is honestly what you're eating. And so when you look at what you're eating, the ingredients of each thing that you can consume, even the things that you can drink, because a lot of people undermine the things that they drink and they only focus on the things they eat. And sadly, sometimes they don't focus on either. But the people that do make somewhat of a, you know, calculated awareness for themselves, they might look at what they eat, but they undermine what they drink. So looking at both is very important. I wanted to begin with that, because it's also with losing weight. People that want to lose weight, they don't focus on what they're drinking, only what they're eating. So just to know, and just to know and notate, you got to focus on both equally. But with that being said, looking at the ingredients and what's in both of our foods and drinks is very important. And I've noticed along the way with my research throughout the years of me doing this and really just being more hyper aware of what is in our food, what is in our drinks, is seeing a lot of the sugars, just that alone, the sugars that they pump into our foods and drinks is just insane. It is literally insane. I mean, you can have one serving, just literally one bottle or one serving of Coke or Pepsi, for example, and you could literally be going over your daily recommended intake of sugar in just that one bottle or one serving, because one bottle or serving has literally over 36 grams of sugar for most of the products. There's some that might be about 36, but most of them I've seen are at least 39 or more for added sugar. So you're already at least 3 to 4 grams of sugar above your daily recommended intake. So you're already over that in one serving of soda. So just seeing things like that really just amaze me how people can be consuming that. And sometimes people are drinking 2 or 3 of those things or more a day. So you're really going well above what you should be having. I mean, honestly, I believe that it's good to cut all added sugar out, or at least most added sugars, you know, out of your diet. Maybe have a few grams, like 10 grams, for example, is fine. I personally don't go over double digits, you know, like past 10 grams. I do go up to double digits at times, but I don't usually even touch double digits from what I actually have experienced, and that being the best way to do it. So I only recommend maybe going up to 10 grams of sugar for your best results, because the less added sugar you're putting in your body, the better you sleep, the better you focus, the better you can function. I've noticed your mental clarity, your mental just focus goes a lot higher, and it's a lot stronger when you're not consuming all that added sugar and BS. Another thing too that I found is when you have a lot of sugar, it actually strips the collagen away from your skin. And so for those people that are, you know, really good with their skin and they take care of their skin, they know that collagen is essential for looking younger and keeping that youthful appearance for as long as you can. Obviously, age catches up to people, but you can keep your age at bay, so to speak, by keeping your collagen intact more so than not. And by limiting your added sugar, that's just one great way to do that. Because the more sugar you have, the more it strips away the collagen. The more it strips away the collagen, the older you look, the more wrinkles you can get, and just those type of things that are just not the things that, you know, that we want. So that's one other strong benefit of limiting your added sugar intake. Not to say all sugar is bad, because you can have natural sugar. I will say that. But even with that, natural sugar found in fruits like fructose, I would recommend that over the added sugar, you know, sucrose. But when you do that, make sure you still limit your sugar intake from fruit, because too much of anything is a bad thing. So making sure I would recommend only have 2 to 4 cups of fruit a day, max. That way you're not having too much, especially if you're diabetic. You do want to still limit your sugars. But I have found that diabetics that I've worked with as clients, being a coach and all, that when they do have complex carbs and natural sugars, it's not as bad for their blood sugar levels as obviously candy is or sweets. So there is a difference in quality between the two still, but it's still important to know to limit both, but especially the added sugar. Beyond sugar, I do want to touch on when it comes to nutrition and what is in our foods and drinks, limiting salt too. So sugar and salt, the two S's, right? That's what I like to call it. And so have too much salt, too much sodium, in other words, that literally is going to make it a lot easier for you to get high blood pressure. It's going to make you look and feel more bloated, and it's just not going to be healthy for you. It's just not healthy, and it's going to dehydrate you. You're not going to feel as good and alert and as energetic as you could be, and you're going to feel a lot more weighed down and, again, just a lot more bloated. So a lot of the things that you got to look out for when it comes to sodium is eating crackers, eating like lunch meats from the deli even, because when you eat certain foods like crackers, lunch meat from the deli, that, I'm not going to lie, that's usually packed with hundreds upon hundreds of milligrams in just that serving of deli meat. And whether it be chicken, turkey, ham is probably even worse yet out of the three. But literally any one of those three, crackers like Cheez-Its or even just saltine crackers, are notorious for having a lot of sodium just pumped into it. So I would definitely make a note and just make a point to, if you're going to have certain foods, maybe certain snacks, to limit that and opt for low sodium options. So if you're going to have deli meat, that's not necessarily unhealthy, but just make sure you opt for the low sodium kinds, and ideally ones without nitrates or nitrites, because sodium nitrate and nitrite alike, those can actually develop, obviously not right away, but they can develop ultimately into cancer, and they can be cancer-causing agents. So making sure that you take note of that too. Those are oftentimes found in a lot of meats like beef jerky and deli meat. So sodium nitrate, nitrite, you got to be very, very aware of that as well. So that's another one I wanted to point out. And then obviously there's things like MSG, monosodium glutamine. And what that does for long, what that literally does, that actually can cause cancer too. And that's usually found in things like salt, could be in other snacks as well. It does make it taste better, but it's not good for you. So what tastes good isn't always good for you. And usually, I've got to be honest, is usually not good for you. Not to say you can't eat healthy and enjoy what you're eating and drinking. You can. There's a lot of good, healthy things that taste amazing. But monosodium glutamine is not something that you want to have in your food or drinks at all. So keeping sure of that, looking for things that say no MSG, or if it doesn't say that, just look at the ingredients. When it comes down to it, no matter the ingredient, just keep a lookout. And what I found to be a good rule of thumb, a good solid rule of thumb, is when you look at the ingredients, if you can't pronounce them, and if it's longer than 5 ingredients, it's not always healthy, but it's almost always unhealthy. It's almost always unhealthy if it has more than 5 ingredients and you can't pronounce them. So that's another thing. And one other thing I wanted to bring up on the ingredient train is when you literally look at these ingredients, if you see things like blue number 5, you know, color blue or red number 5, red number 1, like all these crazy numbers that you just can't, I can't even remember all of them. There's so many of them, but there's yellow, there's blue, there's red. but they are literally not good for your health. Like, they could not be worse for your health, in fact. And studies have shown, and this is actually what affected me, I'm confident it did when I was younger, because I would eat a whole thing of, it's crazy, I would eat a whole thing of Twizzlers, and that had a lot of red dyes in it. And so I would eat a whole package as a kid. And so I'm 100% confident that caused some of my ADHD, because these artificial colors do cause certain, you know, mental conditions and a lot of unwanted, undesired ones like ADHD and other things. Obviously, some of it can be hereditary, but these ingredients that are in our foods that are not good, such as these artificial, you know, colors, that can actually lead and trigger these things too. And oftentimes that's a lot of the root cause of it. So making sure to clean that out of your diet. And a little fun fact, these things are banned in Europe and across the globe for the most part. It's mainly in the US, maybe a few other countries, but mainly in the US for my understanding, where we are still allowing and still permitting these artificial colors in our foods and drinks. It's insane. It really is.
Yeah, I like how you laid that out. It's very helpful. That information took me a heck of a long time to understand. Diet, you know, a lot of people, they just want it quick and easy. McDonald's or, you know, something fast. It's just to eat, right? So with all of those chemicals that they add in, I worked in the food industry for a while, and, you know, I'm a certified canner, and I can tell you through the process, there are dangerous things happening that people aren't aware of, and they should be aware of these things. And it's even worse now because they're trying to drop some of the regulation that regulates our food industry, and that's dangerous because it's already dangerous enough in those factories, because really you're working with people that are being paid a low wage to harvest, produce, and store your food for you. That's not food safety. It's really unsafe in many ways. So the more that you can do for yourself, we have a little farm here, not big, but we try to grow as much fresh live foods as possible now. And stripping all of that out of our diet was very hard to do, because you want that great tasting food. And, you know, well, I don't want to eat that. That's a lettuce, you know. But I'll tell you, once you start eating these things, it's great. My breakfast, you know, consists of a smoothie. You know, it has measured ingredients, and every morning we start with one egg, two pieces of small pieces of fish, and a smoothie, and that is our breakfast. And we used to eat like it was going out of style. Obesity is a big problem in our world. And with all of that weight on my small frame, it was just increasing the damage that was happening to my spine and all of my internal organs getting fat on them. You know, so really understanding what you laid out there, that these foods are processed by factories that are there ultimately for profit. And they don't care really about what you are, and they want you to consume as much of their product as possible. The MSG that you stated, you know, not only is it bad and cancerous, but it makes you want more. So instead of having one potato chip, you're going to have a whole bag of potato chips. And the whole United States is enveloped in this whole food nightmare. And it's crazy. How do we get out of it, Roman?
Yeah, it's nuts, man. Just like what you were saying, it's a nightmare. And the fact that everyone's bought into it, or I don't want to say everyone, fortunately, I like to actually say that's not the case, but mainly everyone has fallen victim to and basically become a slave to the system and how it is. It's, you know, profitability and convenience over actually humanity and health. And it's just really sad, actually, that that's what it has come to. I'd say the best way to get out of it is first and foremost, and it's easier said than done, especially for most of the people out there that are in this condition and in the system that are still plugged in, so to speak, really just first off being aware that this is a problem, being aware that this is a problem, and just start by taking even, because this is what happened to me. I literally, you know, we all get busy, but I had that just 5 minute break where I was able just to sit down and just look, sit down and look at what I was eating. And I literally was eating it as I was looking at it. And it wasn't something healthy from what I remember, but I looked at the ingredient label. And when I did look at that ingredient label, I just took 5 minutes out of my day just to sit down and really analyze, okay, what am I actually eating though? I know I'm eating because I'm hungry and that's what I'm doing, but what am I really eating? Because everyone, when they're hungry, they're like, I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat some food. Like, food is food, right? But it's not, because when I looked at the ingredient label, I actually saw a lot of things that I did not like to see, especially when I did the research on it. So I took even just 5 minutes. I looked at that. I really analyzed and scanned that ingredient list. And I looked that up. And when I looked that stuff up, man, I'm telling you, I was sick to my stomach and I could not eat another bite of that when I was eating at that time. And literally, it is not something that I ever will do again. And so, yes, I did have those cravings even afterwards, just because of the ingredients, like the added sugars, MSG that is in our foods will, you know, keep you wanting more. And that's part of the whole game, so they can make more money off of people instead of just treating people with good food so they can be, you know, satisfied or satiated. They want to give you some food that can somewhat fill you up, but then keep you wanting more. And it's just more of the same old poison, more of the same old toxins, and more of the same old chemicals by the end of the day. So as I started really seeing what I was eating and drinking, and I analyzed that, that made it a lot easier to not want to come back to it. So I strongly encourage everyone out there that is listening to this, literally just take 5 minutes. I know your life's busy. I know most people's lives are very hectic and busy and super crazy. But with that being said, just take 5 minutes, because we all at least have 5 minutes in a day. So take 5 minutes, look at what is in your foods, like what is in your drinks. Look at your ingredient labels. I strongly encourage you do that. I strongly encourage that you do that. And even if your foods and drinks are pretty healthy, you might still be buying certain things that aren't that healthy and you don't even know it. So even just before you buy some foods at the grocery store, this is a huge power move. Be selective. Don't just buy what you first see on the shelves, because that's usually what they want you to buy. That's usually the most unhealthiest things that you could ever consume, ever buy. And it's a double negative. Think of it like that. Yes, it might be cheaper, but you're still paying money for something that's going to poison you. And then in the long run, you're actually going to pay more money, especially if you're met in a hospital room at some point. So making sure that you're more selective and more particular about what you're buying. So that way you'll actually save money, because you might spend a bit more to, you know, get more quality, healthy foods and drinks and things that you can consume. But in the long run, you're very unlikely to be in the hospital then. And your life's going to be a lot better and a lot more quality. And then from there, you're going to spend a lot less money in the long run. And you're going to feel a lot better. And I love this quote too. I forget who said it, but it's something along the lines of, take care of your body because you live in it every day. So literally, you live with yourself every day. You live in that body of yours every single day. So take care of it.
Yeah. So how do we add exercise into this overall plan especially, you know, I'm older now, and, you know, my activity is starting to slow down immensely, but I realize I still need to be active to keep my overall performance going. So what amount of exercise should we actually achieve in a day?
Yeah. Hey, that's a great question. I would recommend, especially for people out there listening that are beginners, I would recommend that you start, especially if you're just starting out, begin with just 3 days a week, even 2 days a week, just to get yourself going. So even 2 to 3 days a week, just to start with, you know, time at the gym. Or even if you don't have a gym, maybe you don't have gym access, maybe you don't like the gym. And if those are the cases, that's totally fine. I prefer the gym myself, but not everyone is a gym goer, and that's totally understandable. So if you're one of those people, again, totally fine. I would recommend that you do at-home workouts. And honestly, those are the easiest, quickest, most efficient ones that you could do anyway, because you can literally work out from the comfort of your very own home. So I recommend that you do have some equipment, ideally. If not, you can still start with calisthenics, and that's still sufficient enough. You got to be a little bit more creative, but you can still get the job done, and you can still get a pretty good, solid, effective workout in a fairly good amount of time, just to be totally honest. So I would recommend that you do start 2 to 3 times a week. I would still recommend more so 3 times a week, even if you are beginning, because that gives your body a good amount throughout the week. And it's not too much, but it's not too little, especially when you're starting out. Because I will say this, I don't want anyone that is starting their fitness journey to go from not working out at all to literally working out 5-6 times a week. I mean, you could do that, but it's not very realistic for most people. I mean, life can get pretty busy anyway, but also, a lot of people, if you're not used to something, it's going to be hard to stick to something from going from 0 to 6 or 5 days a week. So literally, just like you can't go from $0 to $1 million overnight, you can't really expect to not work out at all, like 0 to literally 5 to 6 times a week. I mean, you could, but most people are not going to really commit to that realistically. So with that, I would say 3 times a week. I would advocate doing full body exercises too. That way you're actually maintaining and targeting each part of your body throughout that workout. And you're doing that at least 3 times a week. And so when you're doing that, you're targeting all parts of your body. So that way you're not having to do 4 or 5 times a week. And you can still split up those body parts enough, but still have them in one workout. And then just doing that 3 times a week from your own home, push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, get a pull-up bar if you need to. You could also do literally towel rolls. You could literally get a towel from your house that's long enough and that's taut enough. And you could put it on top of your door, close the door, have the, you know, edges of the towel, and then just literally pull yourself up. And that's something I did when I was gone overseas in Japan. When I was literally just on vacation, I could have went to a gym, but we didn't have a lot of, you know, time just to keep going to gyms. We were always seeing the next thing. So I literally just made time and I worked out for my own Airbnb. But those are things I recommend. Just work out 3 times a week, do full body calisthenics. If you have resistance bands, that's also great too. And if you have weights, I would recommend starting light with your weight and then working your way up. You don't want to start too heavy, especially if you're a beginner.
So do you ever incorporate isometrics into your day? Because when you're sitting around, you know, even like what we're doing right here, you can actually work your muscles through isometrics and help maintain that overall performance level.
Yeah. I don't do a lot of those, but you could also incorporate that for sure. That would also be very helpful. I would also advocate, if you're going to do certain things like cardio, that you do the cardio if you're trying to lose weight to burn some extra calories. But I would recommend you keep that more to a minimum. Focus more so on strength training. always focus more on strength training over cardio, whether you're gaining muscle or burning fat. Because one of those things that a lot of people do when they're trying to lose weight and they're just trying to lose that fat, they'll literally go all in and all out on that cardio. And cardio can help burn calories, can help lose some weight, and even burn some fat. But realistically, you're going to become more skinny fat doing that because you're not going to have any muscle that's really built off of that. And you're just going to lose some of the weight, but lose a lot of muscle if you're only doing a lot of cardio. So cardio is fine in moderation, but keep your muscle growth more of a focus. And you don't have to gain a lot of muscle, you know, when you do strength training, but just gaining some of that muscle during your strength training, even when you're in a deficit, can build a little bit of muscle, which will actually burn fat, because muscle can help speed your metabolism to burn fat. So it'll actually work in your favor when you focus more on strength training anyway, and you'll burn more calories at rest that way compared to cardio.
So do you concentrate on strength one day and cardio the next? And
yeah, hey, that's a good question. A lot of people, when they're trying to do both, they wonder, should I do them, you know, on the same day? Should I split them up? And so I'm going to say this. I would most recommend you either do have a day dedicated to weights or just strength training of some sort or calisthenics, and then have a day, you know, fully dedicated to cardio. I would recommend you do that. Do space them out. Or if you're going to have them on the same day, have your strength training first, then your cardio after. But I would ideally wait at least 7 to 8 hours. That way it gives your body enough time to recover from that weightlifting and strength training. So then you can actually have more of a, you know, solid time with your cardio to burn more calories, have more endurance that you can actually get out of, and actually a better cardio session altogether. And it won't interfere with your strength gains, any muscle gains that you might want to get earlier on to you with your strength training session.
Yeah, a lot of people forget about that healing time for the muscle after that intense workout. And that's important for people to realize. So is there anything else that we should understand about our diet or our overall fitness?
Yeah, 100%. I would also prioritize. This is important. A lot of people don't really pay attention to this part as much. Maybe when they're gaining muscle, they'll focus more on protein, and that's great, but they don't usually focus on protein when it comes to actually losing weight as much. They just think, okay, I'll just eat less. And that's part of it. I mean, yes, you do got to eat a little less, or at least be in a deficit in some way, whether you're just lowering your calories to do that, or increasing your activity level, or a combination thereof. Either one can be fine. But when they're trying to lose weight, they don't focus on having enough protein to maintain that muscle that they actually had and that they may have built when they were bulking or trying to gain. So if you're trying to lose weight, cut fat, burn fat, things like that, keep your protein intake high still. So no matter if you're trying to gain muscle, if that's your main objective, or if you're trying to mainly burn fat, no matter which objective you're following mainly, you always want to have your protein at the highest you can. I mean, I'm not saying you should eat 300 grams of protein. I'm just saying have at least close to, if not 1 gram per pound of your body weight. Now, you don't have to have a whole gram per se. It's that is not fully, you know, necessary or required here. That is not fully required here. I would only say 1 gram per pound of your body weight if you are super active and if you're lifting super heavy. But if you're not too active, I would recommend 0.8 grams per pound of your body weight of protein. So if you're lifting heavier and lifting more weights, then I would suggest 1 gram. And what's nice about that too, it keeps it simple. It keeps it very straightforward, because if you're 170 pounds, that's pretty easy. Okay, I get 170 grams of protein that I need to consume then. So keeping that simple, keeping that to your goal is also very crucial. Whether you're burning fat, gaining muscle, keep that protein high. And then also I would advocate you drink at least 8 to 10 cups of water a day, at least. And if you're very active, I would honestly up it to a gallon.
Interesting. So does it matter what type of protein? Because I hear a lot of confusion out there about meat protein, vegetable protein, and, you know, I use pea protein myself, plus I supplement with a little bit of fish for that meat protein. What's your take on that?
Yeah, my whole take on the protein aspect of things is, as long as you're hitting your protein target and it's clean protein, then that should be fine. As long as it fits your macros and it fits your calories that you need and hits your protein target for your macros, then that's totally fine. But make sure, again, that it is clean protein. It doesn't have to be only white meat or fish. I would advocate doing more of that. But if you're going to have red meat, make sure it's grass-fed. And even then, I would still have that grass-fed red meat only a few times out of the week. But protein powder is fine too, but make sure it has no added sugar or very, very little added sugar. And make sure that you only have maybe a couple servings of that, because too much of that too can have a lot of sodium. So making sure you're getting more of your proteins from literally just fish. You could have eggs, chicken, things like that. Grass-fed meat, again, 3 to 4 times a week is totally fine too.
Yeah. So I recently cut basically all red meat out of my diet and I replaced it with black bean. What's your thought on that?
I'd say that's, hey, as long as you're getting your protein in, that's fine. I will say, though, if you do like red meat, not to say you can't have it. So I would just recommend, when you do have red meat, only grass-fed red meat, because you don't want those hormones. You don't want those antibiotics. So got to say that 100%. But in that, still, I would recommend you only have 3 to 4 servings of that in a week still, because too much of anything is not good for you. And also, that saturated fat, you don't want to have too much saturated fat in your diet anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting a lot of good advice here today with you, Roman, and that's very beneficial in many ways. So tell us about how people work with you and tell us about your services that you provide for people.
Definitely. So yeah, I help people burn fat, gain muscle, strength, flexibility, improve their focus, sleep, and also their overall mindset. So if you want to find out more about me and what I do and all the clients and testimonials that I have on my website, you can literally find me at romanfisherofficial.com. You can see more of that. And also, if you have any fitness goals that you personally need help with, you can also connect with me one-on-one on there and we can get started.
All right, Roman. Well, I want to say thank you for being part of the Dead America podcast today. It's been fantastic talking with you. You are loaded with information that people really need. So it's been a delight speaking with you. Thank you for sharing here today.
Thank you. Likewise. Likewise.
Thank you for joining us today. If you found this podcast enlightening, entertaining, educational in any way, please share, like, subscribe, and join us right back here next week for another great episode of the Dead America Podcast. I'm Ed Waters, your host. Enjoy your afternoon, wherever you might be.